You're listening to a CNBC TV 18 podcast.
The budget season is here, and so are we with a brand new series, The Budget Podcast, on CNBCTV18.com. This is your host, Kanishka Sarkar, and in this special series, in the countdown to Budget 2022, a booster for growth, I'll talk to experts and find out what the likes of you and me can expect from Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman in the next financial year. I'm sure many of us just finished filing our income tax returns, and like every year, what's on top of our minds is whether the standard deduction limit will be increased. After all, we have had that limit of 50,000 rupees since 2014. And yes, everyone wants more money in hand to spend and to invest. Also, has your home loan EMI been digging holes in your pocket despite the rebate you get? Well, is the government planning any reforms around it? For these and more questions that you may have on what the budget is likely to bring, I spoke to Mr. Adil Shetty, the CEO of BankBazaar.com. Listen to our conversation to hear his suggestions to the finance minister on GST, reforms for fintech, the insurance sector, and more.
Hi Adil, first of all, wishing you a very happy new year, and thanks for coming on this special budget podcast show where we'll talk about Budget 2022, Booster for Growth.
Absolutely, Kanishka. I'm excited to be here. I hope you and the listeners are keeping safe and getting vaccinated and following COVID precautions.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. So, Adil, we're just a few weeks away from the announcement of the budget for 2022-2023 fiscal by Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman. While the industry is, of course, looking for relief to conduct operations normally given the pandemic situation at hand, another important and big question that most people are asking is, what is in the budget for the common man? Multiple reports are already doing rounds that the center is mulling to increase by 30-35% the 50,000 standard deduction limit that is available to the salary taxpayers and pensioners. Which brings me to the question, will there be a change in tax structure this time? And what is going to be its impact on the salaried bracket of people?
So, Kanishka, I want to answer this in two parts, all right? So, firstly, yes, budgets are known to bring relief to the common man, especially in tough times like what the pandemic is doing right now. There was a big tax regime change in 2020. So, if you remember, a new simplified lower tax rate, but without any deduction regime was launched. And today, when you and I file taxes, we have to choose either between the old regime, which has the deduction but higher tax rate, or the new regime, which has lower tax rate but no deduction. So things are known to change during tax time. However, right, let's be clear, there's a lot of news floating around, but it's too speculative at this point in time for us to be able to tell your listeners what exactly is going to change in terms of tax structure or in terms of standard deduction. I think we all know what we're asking for. Industry bodies are getting together. They're written to the Ministry of Finance. Experts are talking about it. So we're asking for an increase in the ATC limit. We know that ATC limit today is 1.5 lakhs, right? And it was last changed in 2014. Right. That's 8 years ago. It's about time it was looked at again. We all know that we're asking for more deduction, but we'll talk about it. But I think we know something good could happen, but let's not speculate because it's too early for that.
Right. So first of all, let me ask you, you were talking about the new tax regime, but turns out there are only a few takers of it. Very few people are opting for the new tax regime. What could be the possible reason for that?
So what essentially happens is that the new tax regime offers lower tax rate, but it also doesn't allow you to take deduction. So let me just talk for myself personally, right? So I make use of most of the deductions, Kanishka. So I take a deduction on my ATC, which is my life insurance policy, which is my investment in, let's say, tax saving deposits and so on and so forth. I also take a deduction on the interest on my home loan, which is Section 24. So someone who's taking a lot of deductions, right, they actually end up being better off when you do an apple-to-apple comparison between the old regime and the new regime. And that could be one of the reasons that people stick with the old regime like me, which is that they're making maximum use of the deductions under ATC, under ATD, under 24, and so on and so forth.
Right. You know, you said, I understand it's pretty speculative right now, but are you expecting any change in the tax slabs?
So here's what I can tell you, Kanishka. I can tell you what all of us and the industry bodies are asking from the finance minister.
Right.
So one, we're asking for help with people buying homes. Hmm. So you're aware that home loans have picked up, and buying homes has picked up because, you know, the interest rates are the lowest they've been in 15 years, and prices are also more affordable now. So the first big thing we're asking the finance minister, right, is for increased tax deduction for home loan. Now, at Bank Bazaar, we've come up with an innovative idea where we're saying, let's take all the various home loan deductions available. So there's deductions of 1.5 lakh under ATC on the principal component of the home loan.
Right.
There's 2 lakhs under Section 24 for the interest paid on the home loan. And for first-time home buyers, there's a deduction under ATEEA if it's an affordable home loan of 1.5 lakhs. So there are about 5 lakhs in deduction, but it's all spread out. So the idea that we've come up with is let's have one consolidated deduction for home loans of 5 lakhs and make it independent of any other section. So if someone's taken a home loan or is thinking about investing in a house, let them take that total single 5 lakh deduction under a new section. So this is one idea. Now, if this is not possible, alternatively, I think all the industry bodies have written saying the deduction of 2 lakhs, which is allowed under Section 24 for interest, 2 lakhs is a very small amount. Please increase that 2 lakh under Section 24, at least increase it to 5 lakhs. So I think this is one section of home loan related ask.
Right.
The second increase all of us want is the ATC limit. So what's happening with ATC, right? I told you this earlier. It was last raised in 2014. Think of what prices were and what salaries were in 2014 and think what it is today. So everyone wants the 1.5 lakh ATC limit, right? We want it bumped up to 3 lakhs.
Yeah.
The third thing we want, Kanishka, is, and I'm talking specifically about startups and ESOPs now.
Okay.
We want better tax treatment for ESOPs. So there are two things we're asking for. So one is we're saying tax ESOPs not at the point of exercise, but at the point of sale, and do this for all MSMEs. So the Honorable Finance Minister has extended this benefit to startups, registered startups. But there are many MSMEs and companies which are beyond that age limit to be a registered startup, but still, right, are rewarding people through ESOP. So it's very hard for a person working in a company to pay tax, right, when you exercise your ESOP. So we're saying let it be taxed when you sell the share. That's number one. Second, right, we are asking for parity in long-term capital gains taxation of shares in private companies versus public companies. So shares in private companies have more tax than shares in publicly traded companies. We want parity so that startups can gain from that. So my third ask is around ESOPs.
Right. Okay, so now we'll move on from the tax structure. So now I'd like to ask you, you know, a lot of things have become expensive these days. Sure, they're costing more because of increased raw material cost and inflation concerns at play. But many products come with a relatively high GST levied on them. For instance, the GST on cars ranges between 5% to as high as 28%. So can we expect any reduction in the GST this year?
Yeah, great question, right? Again, I want to tell you two angles on this, all right? So the first angle is that GST is decided at the GST Council. So this is not something that I expect will be addressed in the union budget. But all that right. being said, right, let's just talk about GST on housing, all right? Now, there's one thing the entire realty sector is pushing for. So when a house gets classified as affordable housing, it gets GST benefits. So currently, right, if you're living in a metro like Mumbai, the stamp duty value has to be less than 45 lakhs for it to be affordable housing. So what the industry is doing is writing saying, hey, in Mumbai metro, 45 lakhs is a lower limit. Let's increase it, like let's say to 60 lakhs. Now, the minute you increase it, right, more number of people qualify for affordable housing.
Right.
Now, affordable housing has multiple benefits. A, the GST rate is reduced. It's 1% without input tax credit. You get government subsidies on home loan, which is PMAY, and you get this additional tax deduction for a total of 3.5 lakh on interest repayment, which we discussed earlier. So I think the ask from this budget is can the definition of affordable housing be increased such that more people can qualify under affordable housing and hence get the GST benefit?
Right, right. Great. So, since we are talking about GST, what are the expectations of the insurance sector from the budget, especially given the COVID times? You know, many people are looking to buy health insurance, life insurance and others, but they too come along with a heavy GST. In fact, health insurance comes with an 18% GST. So what are we expecting in this space?
So see, from the insurance side, Kanishka, like I said, the actual GST rates are decided by the GST Council. So that's an independent process. But I'll tell you what the insurance industry is asking for.
Right.
So I think everyone is feeling that the ATC 1.5 lakh limit is an old one, right? So like we spoke, it's 8 years old.
Yeah.
And it's not adequate to cover everything, right? Because think of it today. You have certain life insurance purchases. You have your principal on your home loan. You also have savings you're doing in, you know, in Provident Fund and in PPF and so on and so forth. So I think everyone is saying that this 1.5 lakh is not enough to cover insurance, right? So I think we want a separate deduction for term life insurance. And that separate deduction should be worth 50,000 rupees. So someone out there who's 30, 35 years old can go and buy term life insurance, which is so critical because we're constantly advising people saying, if your salary is 10 lakhs, right, you need 10 times that amount in term life insurance.
Yeah.
So people can get sufficient term insurance, and a separate category is created for term life deduction independent of ATC. I think that's a big ask. Like you said, health insurance premiums are going up, right? And it's happening for various reasons, including the pandemic. So today, for a salaried person, for your family, right, you have a deduction of about 25,000. But I can speak for myself, right? We have a young daughter, my wife, you know, we also have dependent parents. The premium is more than this 25,000 limit, right?
Yeah.
Especially because the cost of medical care is going up. So that limit can also be looked at because it's important all of us are covered today. It's impossible to pay out of pocket today's bills, right, for medical care.
Yeah.
So I think that could also be looked at. Both on both these fronts, I think the insurance industry is hoping for something positive from the budget.
Right, right. So next, let's, you know, let's talk about the banking sector and KYC norms. So the Reserve Bank of India has already extended the deadline for KYC in bank accounts till March 31st. But then are we expecting any announcements on the relaxation of KYC norms?
So a couple of thoughts here. One, I want to congratulate the Reserve Bank of India for doing a brilliant job on digital KYC.
Right.
You know, we see this at Bank Bazaar all the time. It's very hard for you to visit a bank branch, submit your driver's license, your passport, your Aadhaar card, get it notarized, show the original. No one wants to do that, right?
Yeah.
Like, frankly, today, I don't want anyone coming to my house, right, to meet me and collect countersigned KYC and all that.
Yeah.
So Reserve Bank did some fantastic work in the last 12 months or 18 months of the pandemic. So they allowed video KYC. That was a game changer. Today we see 80% of the transactions on Bank Bazaar happening on video KYC. And it's brilliant, right? Because a single bank official, instead of doing three KYCs by going from house to house in a day or neighborhood to neighborhood, the same person, right, is able to do 10 times the number of KYCs sitting in one place and watching a video KYC. It's brilliant. 10x increase in productivity. So great work by the RBI. I think that there will be further innovation in KYC, but it won't happen as part of the budget because the master KYC that RBI brings out happens throughout the year and it's independent of the budget. What we would like from the fintech industry is there's been a tremendous trust to fintech. Fintech is today seen as a number one sector in India. So it'll be great if the finance minister can mention the sector, encourage the sector, saying that we want fintech, financial inclusion to grow, and using fintech, right? Banks and fintech should work together to make sure that financial products like credit products especially are available on a mobile phone contactlessly to every Indian. So I'd like to see the Honorable Finance Minister talking about it. But KYC regulation is handled in a separate regulation, which is called the Master KYC, which is an off-budget item.
All right. So you were talking about, you know, fintechs. So these BNPL payments and credit cards, they've become, you know, largely popular, especially during these pandemic times. So do you expect any, you know, special reforms so as to promote these modes of payment and all?
So a couple of thoughts. So for the first thing is that you're right that credit card and BNPL has really, really taken off through the pandemic because people need digital payment instruments.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, this is one thing we saw that never slowed down. So at Bank Bazaar, we've seen an 80% increase in people taking new credit cards this December 2021 compared to last year, because everyone realizes that, you know, you need to pay digitally and, you know, they just want the convenience, the security and the rewards, right, that a credit card can bring them.
Yeah.
BNPL is also becoming very popular. So it's a smaller industry. I think that it's a rapidly growing and a smaller industry, and we're going to see a lot of progress over the next 5 years.
Mm.
So we'd like to see, you know, like I said, the finance minister talk about fintech, encourage digital payments, maybe even give, like she has in the past, right, some kind of benefits to collecting payments online. So
right.
This could be a benefit to the merchant if they collect their payments online. This could be a benefit to the consumer, right, if certain types of payments are made online. So, for example, in a prior budget, right, they said that you could get a lower premium on your insurance if you pay it digitally, right? So I think those kinds of nudges to get people to pay digitally, I think, helps everyone, right? Because it's cheaper than transporting cash. It's more secure and it's traceable, right? As in, it's easier to manage and track the flows in the economy better. So yeah, anything to encourage fintech, I think, would be warmly welcomed by the sector.
Absolutely. Okay. Lastly, Adil, I'd, you know, like to ask, people, especially in the middle income groups, have been eagerly waiting for something that will boost their consumption power. So for that, do you have any other suggestions for the finance minister that you think people would like to be included in the budget this year?
So I will just cover a couple of things in addition to what we've discussed.
Yeah.
I just can't emphasize the importance of getting people and people's number one desire, which is their home. I think this is a year everyone is thinking, saying interest rates are the lowest they've been in 15 years. Home loans are available starting 6.5% or even slightly lower. Should I take a home loan? So I already covered that in detail, which is that we want a higher deduction on our home loan and we want it to be 5 lakhs, right? So Bank Bazaar is saying, let's club everything together and make it one single deduction, no sublimits for principal or interest, just one 5 lakh deduction. That's one angle. The other approach is to say that Section 24, you're allowed to take 2 lakhs on interest. Now let's increase it to 5 lakhs.
Right.
The other thing I think people are looking for, right, and I'll just talk from the salaried person's point of view.
Yeah.
People are thinking of a section called ATTTA, all right? ATTTA is a deduction on the interest on your savings account. You and I obviously have savings accounts. We could have it with a bank, a cooperative bank, or with a post office. I have it with a scheduled bank, right? Now 10,000 rupees is my tax deduction, so I don't pay tax on it. But today 10,000 rupees is very often breached by a salaried person. So you end up getting on your savings account interest of maybe 20,000, 30,000. What we're asking, right, is the finance minister had given a benefit to senior citizens. So she had said that senior citizens have a deduction of 50,000, and she did this in 2018. So we're asking, saying, can something similar be done for everyone? So even if you're below 60, right, the current 10,000 deduction, can it be increased from 10,000 to 50,000? Or if not to 50,000, at least to 30,000? So I think this will put more cash in people's hands.
Right.
The second thing a lot of salaried people have been asking us at Bank Bazaar, right, is, you know, when you sell a house, if you reinvest your capital gains in another house, you don't have to pay capital gains tax on the amount. But a lot of us today have mutual funds, right?
Yes.
But when you sell a mutual fund, and even if you reinvest it in a mutual fund, you still have to pay capital gains tax on the gain. So one of the things the team at Bank Bazaar has been pushing, right, is can we treat parity for mutual funds similar to an asset like a house or like shares in a private company? So if I sell a mutual fund, as long as I invest the capital gains in another mutual fund, don't tax me on it, because I might want to move from fund one to fund two because of better performance. So I think these are two ideas that the salaried community is asking the finance minister to put more cash in our hands.
Right, right. Great. Thanks, Adil. That's about it. Thanks a lot for your inputs. It was wonderful talking to you. And I hope to connect with you again post the budget to discuss what we expected and what we got.
Absolutely, Kanishka. I think it's been a pleasure chatting with you. And thanks, Nanda, for helping schedule and manage this so well.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Well, that's about it. I hope now you know what to look forward to in the budget for the next financial year. For any more doubts, stay tuned for the next episode of the Budget Podcast. With that, we end this episode. In case you have any queries or suggestions, feel free to write to us at cnbctv18podcast@nw18.com. I'll be back with another episode with more on budget expectations. Till then, stay tuned to cnbctv18.com for all the latest updates. Thank you for listening.